Grace, mercy, and peace from God, your Heavenly Father, from God, and Jesus Christ, your Savior and Lord, and from God, the Holy Spirit who brings you into that one true faith. Amen. And on the basis of our gospel lesson this morning, I can ask for anything? Please. Dear Christian friends, you know, moms are, well, they are praying people, aren't they? I mean, moms really know how to do it. They pray and they pray. I mean, they got a list, I think, so long in terms of their prayers that, you know, at night they kind of fall asleep while they're praying because there's so many things, so many people, family members especially. Well, there was one mom who wrote this poem about sometimes how difficult it is to pray and about prayer itself. And she wrote this: "Dear Lord, it's such a hectic day with little time to stop and pray. For life has been anything but calm since you called me to be a loving mom. Running errands, matching socks, taking time to stack building blocks, cooking, cleaning, and finding shoes and all those things that young ones lose. Fitting lids on bottled bugs, wiping tears and giving hugs, a stack of last week's mail to read. So where's the quiet time I need? Yet as I go to bed each night, my heart is filled with God's delight. I peek and see my child sleeping there, the answer to a mother's prayer." Give me an awe. Come on. Aw. Do we put limits on prayer? Do you put limits on your prayer? But then here Jesus in this gospel lesson, this last verse in the gospel lesson, he says, "Ask for anything, anything in my name, and I will do it. I will give it. I'll take care of it." Like, wow, I read that Bible verse and I say, the possibilities here are endless. They are so good. But then, with a little more clarity, I kind of think, well, yeah, but I was praying for so-and-so, and nothing really happened there in my prayer, and I was praying for this to happen in terms of my future, and, you know, that didn't work out either. So how do you handle that, you know, when you're to pray for anything, and then you get a no answer? Well, first of all, we've got to remember this. We should not just pluck verses out of the Bible. You just start to pick a verse out of the Bible, you run into some difficulty simply because you can have a very incorrect interpretation of what Jesus is saying. And so we really need to look at the context of all of those verses there. And it begins in verse number 1, where Jesus is speaking to his disciples, his followers there. He's probably up in the upper room at that time, and he maybe notices some apprehension or something, uneasiness going on. And he says, "Do not be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. And I'm going to go away now, and yet I'm preparing a place for you so that I'm going to come back and take you to be with me." So Jesus really shares some deep thoughts there at this point. He really is getting down into some gut stuff. And yet Thomas, as you know, being the doubting one, we kind of catch a little bit of it here. He says, but Lord, we don't know where you're going. How are we going to get there? How are we going to know the way? And then Jesus comes out with that wonderful line, that statement, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Powerful Bible verse. And we know that part about the way, the truth, and the life. But, you know, I think Jesus was saying even a little bit more than that because of those first two words in that verse, number 6, the ones that we miss. He says, "I am." And that's really powerful words there, a designation there that is saying something about who Jesus is. Now, you have heard in last week especially Jesus using that same kind of a label. Last week he said, I am the door or gate, depending on the translation you used, I am the door. And you've heard other places in John, several places, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. He says again and again and again in the Gospel of John. So that I am label is so important. It actually goes back to the book of Exodus, way back where Moses is standing in front of the burning bush, probably kneeling in front of that burning bush, God's presence right there, and God is sending Moses to Egypt, you know, let my people go, and you're going to lead that effort. And Moses says, no, wait a second, you know, who should I say, you know, is saying this and demanding this? And out of the burning bush come the words, just tell Pharaoh, I am is speaking. I am the creator. I am the all-powerful God. Not like your little God, small g. No, I am the one who speaks and demands because I am all-powerful. And so Moses takes that to Pharaoh. And so we hear this now, the power of what Jesus is saying. He's claiming to be God in those first two words. Now, Philip gets into the picture. And he doesn't really, you know, really kind of coordinate the idea that God the Father and God the Son are one and the same. And so Jesus pursues that with Philip and the others, saying, hey, you know, believe, you know, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. In other words, I am equal to the Father as the Father is equal to me. In other words, Philip, you see me, you see God the Father. I am He just standing in front of you, so believe. And then, as the gospel, it kind of turns a little bit, where Jesus now says, you know, okay, believe, you know, at least believe in the works that I do and what I can do. You know, believe in who I am. And in fact, you're going to be able to do greater works than what I've been doing. Really? What's Jesus doing there? What's he saying there? Well, what are the works that Jesus was doing? What did they see him do? Well, they saw him heal many people. They saw him walk on water. They saw him feeding 5,000 plus people. And what are the works that we're going to do that are even more significant than Jesus calming a storm? Well, you're going to be used to bring people to Christ. You're going to be sharing the love of God to people and offer, through the word, salvation to those around you. That's a greater thing than feeding 5,000 people, frankly, because that is most significant for our lives, for our eternity. So what Jesus is speaking about is not, hey, we're asking for something of our whims and desires, like, hey, you know, I need a new Maserati, you know, and I'm praying for it, or even to just pass an examination of some sort. No, Jesus is really talking about the mission of the church here and what it's all about as individuals and as a Trinity Lutheran, what we're about in terms of sharing that good news. And when we do so, when we're united and we are doing so, there's nothing that can stop. You know, the prayers are endless there, and yet they have no limitations at all because we pray for mighty things to be done through God's word, using us as instruments to bring that word to the people of this community. Yet, it doesn't always work that way, does it? It doesn't happen so easily. Sounds right, maybe, okay, but, you know, what happens? Well, what happens is the sinful self gets involved. We, with our own whims and things of need, we think, you know, we put those first. And so we're doing something according to what our plan is. And yet we see Jesus himself again, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, saying, not my will, but thy will be done. Or you'll pray in a few minutes. You'll pray, not my kingdom come, but thy kingdom come. And yet, that selfish self gets in there thinking, I got it right, and I know what to do. And so, yeah, you know, that becomes in part of our own thinking, thought process, and what we share with others. Kind of reminds me of a story of about a church council. This doesn't happen at Trinity, I'm sure, okay? It was a church council. The pastor of the church was always at odds with the church council. Every same thing. There were 12 votes for this direction and one vote over here. 12 against one. And it would happen again and again and again. And the pastor was exasperated. He would say, I've had enough of this. You know, every time we come to council meeting and we take a vote and it's the same answer. You always think you're right. Just because you've got 12 votes. Well, maybe I am right. Maybe I know what's going on here and what the future of this church should be, really. And I'm so ticked. I'm going to call on God, you know, to send a sign here, you know, to show you that I am right here and this is the direction we should vote. At that same moment, lightning strikes. It hits the church. The lights are flickering. Everybody's thrown from their cushy chairs, you know, onto the ground there. And after a minute or so, everybody starts kind of picking themselves up. And boy, the president of the church there, his glasses are hanging off of his ear there. His hair is disheveled and so forth. Said, okay, the vote is 12-2, but we still have the majority. Where's Dan? Is he still laughing? Yeah, but that's the way it seems to be. You know, James, in his writing, in chapter 4, he gives us a clue here to what's going on inside of us, I think, and helps us. He says that when you ask, you do not receive because you have the wrong motive. I like that. We have the wrong motive when we ask. Well, what is the right motive? Well, there's two things here to be mentioned. Number one is this. When Jesus says, ask, notice he said, in my name. In my name. Now, what does that mean? Well, first of all, yeah, we pray in my name. You know, Betsy just did it a moment ago with the children. In Jesus' name, she prayed. We do that. And yet, do we know what we're saying there? What we are saying there is we are really asking for the participation of Christ, you know, in that prayer, in that work, in that life. We're asking for his power, his guidance. We are asking for his will to be done. The purpose which fits in with God's mission, his will, in that particular prayer. So we're asking a lot more than just kind of flippantly, you know, adding it as an ending, you know, to a prayer. We're asking for the involvement of God here, and seriously so. The second thing which happens too is something that Jesus mentioned also in that gospel lesson. He said at the end, to glorify the Father and me. In God's glory, it is to be done. You know, when you ask for something very personal, is it giving God the glory? Is it going to glorify him because you want something for yourself? And so when you pray, you need to think, well, is this part of the will, the plan of God, really? You know, we do that with some skepticism sometimes because we're not sure, but the answer should glorify God, and that can even be a no. Or a maybe, depending your response in terms of thanking and glorifying. You see, this is exactly what Jesus did. Everything Jesus did here in life here was to glorify the Father, to glorify God. In his life, he did that. In his death, he did that. Because here Jesus, who comes down to earth, he dies on that cross, and it's to the glory of God the Father, because here the plan of salvation which was promised, is completed in Jesus in that sacrifice to the glory of God. And in Jesus' resurrection, the same thing. Here now you and I, with the forgiveness of sins that we receive, now we can live in that place prepared for us for all eternity to the glory of God. And so in our prayer life, as Jesus speaks it here in verse 14, we see that Jesus himself is saying to you and me, when you ask, you do so seeking the will of God, seeking God's purpose in life here for this person, this event, this matter to take place. We always look at that bigger picture, and we do it knowing of the promises of God and even starting to understand what is best at this situation and time for me or the church. And yet, you and I too, and this congregation of Trinity Lutheran, yeah, we are to go out and do the works of God. We're to be able to do them in this community, doing them so that God will be honored. That is the purpose. That is the command. That is why we go forth unto all people to share that good news of Jesus Christ. That's kind of what moms do. They really do. They don't put limitations on prayers, I don't believe. They just pray, and they pray, and they do so for you and for me. And they are honored this day, rightly so. And yet we honor and glorify our Father in heaven for our moms and for Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. We pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love especially, your grace poured out in Jesus Christ. Live in us, dear Lord, as we live in you through Jesus Christ, our Savior and King. Amen.